30,316. 30,316. That is the average number of days a female can expect to live who is born in this country today. 30,316, or about 83 years. For a male, it's 28,855, or about 79 years. Well, let me ask you a question. What are we supposed to do with all those days? And does it matter how long we live? There was a man who went in for his annual checkup, and he received a phone call from his doctor a couple of days later. And the doctor said, "I'm afraid I have some bad news for you." "What's the news?" the man asked. "Well, you only have 48 hours left to live." "Well, that is bad news," said the shock patient. "But I'm afraid I have even worse news," the doctor continued. "Well, what could possibly be worse than what you've already told me?" The patient stammered. And the doctor said, "Well, I've been trying to call you since yesterday." Psalm 90 is a prayer to God, recognizing that God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. We are not. And therefore, we should number our days aright. It is a prayer written by Moses, possibly the oldest psalm in the Psalter, and it is a lament for significance in light of eternity. It is, if you like, and here's a long word, an existentialist prayer. It is a search for meaning and the nature of existence in an apparently absurd, transient world. And whilst this psalm could have been written during Moses' midlife crisis in the desert, in all likelihood, it was penned at the end of his life. I wonder if you can picture Moses in Deuteronomy with the Israelite community, a new generation from the one he had brought through the Red Sea, about to enter the promised land. But of course, Moses would not be going with them. He would die and be buried on Mount Nebo on the east side of the River Jordan. And in these last days of his life, he reflects. He gets quite philosophical on all that happened to Israel and all that happened to himself. So here's his life lessons, if you like, from this psalm. First, verses 1 to 2, God is eternal. Second, verses 3 to 11, life is short. God is eternal, life is short. So, verses 12 to 17, gain a heart of wisdom. And that's where we're going to get our application for today. But first, God is eternal. God is eternal. Let's remind ourselves again from verse 1 and 2. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses begins his meditation with a description of who God is. You'll notice that the word Lord is not in capitals here, unlike verse 13. That's because we're not referring to God by his name, Yahweh, in verse 1, but as Adonai, which denotes God's majesty. Moses says that God is a dwelling place, literally a protective shelter throughout all generations. So God is portrayed as sheltering, comforting, and protecting and cherishing his people in the past and in the present. This is important for the Israelites because, of course, they were a people at this time without a country. At least in Egypt, they had a roof over their heads and the protection of the armies of Egypt being a wall around them. But now they're insecure, they're afraid. They were living in tents in the middle of nowhere. They were fair game for attacks from wild animals, other tribes, local kings. But Moses reminds them that no matter how insecure and temporary their lives are at the moment, actually they are protected by the eternal God. Moses knew that ultimately humans' safe place is not actually a place at all, but humans' safe place is in the person of God himself. Because God is forever. God is eternal. God has no expiration date. And Moses tells the Israelites that God is their eternal dwelling place. He has always been. In fact, verse 2, God predates even the mountains, those giant rocks, old and steady, that represented in the ancient world, the ladder from earth to heaven. But God made even them. God is eternal. God predates even the very world Moses is in. Indeed, God was the one who brought it forth. Moses is telling us that God is not a recent invention. He's been there from forever, and he will be around forever. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I wonder if you've ever had a child ask you, as my son did not too long ago, when was God born? How did you answer that? Did you say something like, oh, God wasn't born, he has always been? How did you handle the blank look on their face? This is a very hard concept to grasp, but it is a vital theological reality that can change the whole way that we look at life. We'll come back to that when we look at the application at the end. So that's Moses' first life lesson for us. God is eternal. But his second life lesson is this: life, it's short. Or, with apologies to the BBC sitcom of the same name, some of us may feel life is too short. In contrast to the eternity of God, human life, even the longest biblical life imaginable, nearly 1,000 years, is insignificantly brief. Even the life of the oldest person we might know, some of us, maybe that's our dear Doreen Locke, sitting there 98 years young, even that life is insignificantly brief. It's lovely to have you with us here, Doreen, this evening. Because the psalmist says it is a returning to the dust of Genesis 3. It is but a watch in the night. It is a flood sweeping life away. It is a dream. It is grass that flourishes and fades in a single day. Life is short. As you know, there's a site on the internet called deathclock.com. And you enter your date of birth, your sex, your body mass index, whether you smoke, and whether you are an optimist or a pessimist. And then it will give you a calculation of your life expectancy down to the exact day you are due to pass away. And then underneath it shows you seconds left to live whilst counting them down. Google report that many internet users, after going on deathclock.com, immediately after click on links to buy nicotine patches, diet books, and gym membership. Friends, however long we are here for, unless the Lord Jesus comes, we'll each end up with our name on a gravestone or in a book of remembrance in a crematorium. And yet, it seems to be part of our human nature that we long, don't we, for eternity, for eternal life. As Woody Allen said, I don't want to achieve immortality through my work. I want to achieve it through not dying. He also said, I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. But death is an inevitability. Life is short. Moses suggests that the ultimate reason that life is short is because of the human condition. Verse 8, can we see? You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Moses probably has Israel's rebellion against God in mind, the very reason he will not be entering the promised land. But more generally, we can say that it is sin being brought into the world and the rebellion of all human beings against God that, in the words of apostles, leads to death, physical death as well as spiritual death. And so, yes, life will at times seem short, transient, absurd and meaningless because of the reality of sin that leads to death. Because, friends, without the rescue of Jesus Christ, we are still under the anger and the wrath of God. Verse 11, we are under God's hot displeasure. Literally, in the Hebrew, it is God's flaring nostrils. And so, no wonder without Jesus Christ, the 70 or 80 years we have at best are but trouble and sorrow, verse 10, for they quickly pass and we fly away. God is eternal, but life is short because of death. C.S. Lewis explained it like this. He said, imagine a sheet of paper infinitely extended. That would be eternity. But then on that paper, just draw a short line to represent time. And as the line begins and ends on that infinite expanse, so time began in God and will end in him. Now, if that tiny line is the reality of this life, that should get each of us thinking just a little bit, well, what on earth am I here for? How will I make the best of the time I have left? I wonder if you remember the Nike advert that went, life's too short, just do it. But the question is, just do what? What is it? If it is just bouncing around in new shoes, that doesn't really seem like too much, does it? But as we move on to verses 12 to 17, I think that the slogan for Psalm 90 is something like this. Life's too short, just do it right. Just do it right. Well, how can we do it right? Leonardo da Vinci said that while he thought that he was learning how to live, he was actually learning how to die. But God, verse 12 to 17, does tell us how to just do it right, how to do life right. So let's look at our third point, and it is this. God is eternal, life is short, so ask God for wisdom. Ask God for wisdom. God is eternal, life is short, so we must ask God for wisdom in how to live. Asking God how to do it right. As one person put it, wisdom in the Bible is just sanctified common sense. But I want to highlight two ways in which we ask God for wisdom in verses 12 to 17. There are actually many more, but two things in which we are to gain a heart of wisdom. The first is this. Ask God, in verse 12, teach us to number our days aright. Teach us to number our days aright. I've been quite struck by this phrase, quite challenged as I've been thinking about it this week. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I actually read this psalm too, and prayed using this phrase with Alex Keeler about 20 minutes before he passed away. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. The word teach means to weigh or to seriously consider. And the phrase to number our days can mean to count or to reckon or to prepare. The truth is that as humans we need to learn from the God of eternity, because he is eternal. Life is short. He must teach us. I'm not just talking about a new technique for time management. We're talking about life management, a true heart of wisdom. Now, you can't literally number your days the way deathclock.com does. For all we know, this could be our very last day. But numbering your days aright means taking each day as a precious gift. Each day is precious. If £50 is all you've got to live on in the next month, you'd be very careful how you'd spend it. In the same way, live each day to make it count. And what Moses means by that is not to simply get busier or do more stuff, do more church stuff, but it is to live more intentionally. Live more intentionally. You know, the average worker in the UK now works about 2.5 hours a week more than 20 years ago. Does that mean we have a more fulfilled society? Well, the increased prescriptions for antidepressants and anti-stress medication would say no. Staying busy is not the same as counting our days aright. But being intentional is about having the right priorities. If our priorities are not God's priorities, then ultimately we will fail. Maybe for some of us this evening, God is challenging us to realign our priorities to his. There was a recent study in a psychology journal that revealed that in his life, an average 70-year-old man in the UK has spent 24 years sleeping, 14 years working, 8 years being entertained, 6 years at the dinner table, 5 years on transport, 4 years in conversation, 3 years in education, and 2 years in studying and reading. And his other 4 years are spent in miscellaneous pursuits. And of those 4 years, apparently he spent just 2 months either at church gatherings, praying, or reading the Bible. Now, those, of course, are averages, but I think you can draw your own conclusions from that. Moses is saying in this passage, God is eternal, life is short, so teach us to number our days aright. Teach us to use our time intentionally, not detached from the reality of death, but rather in light of it. When we live with our frailty in mind, we tend to live life from a more clarified point of view. Our priorities tend to stay in the right order, the order they should be. We value God, we value serving him, we value family, we value friends, we even treasure them rather than take them for granted. We focus on the things that really matter. That's what gaining a heart of wisdom is all about. In contrast, in your life, a heart of foolishness would mean spending your best energies on things that don't matter and leaving only leftover energy for things that do. A heart of Foolishness means trying to manufacture your own happiness from doing things that you think will satisfy. So how is God challenging you this evening to number your days aright? A few moments to consider that before we move on. So teach us to number our days aright. But there is one other key to asking God for wisdom in this passage, and that is found in the very last verse, verse 17. And it says this: may the favour of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What does it mean to ask God to establish the work of our hands? Well, for Israel to accomplish their mission and for God to establish the work of their hands, they had to remain faithful to God's covenant with them, and they had to live in faith towards that, towards God. Now, we today are the heirs of that generation, in a sense. We are not Israel, but we are seeking God's blessing, his favour, verse 17, to carry out God's plan, God's mission. For the work that we do in pursuit of our calling as Christians and as a church to glorify God and to make him known on this earth and in this town, we do need to ask God, God, please establish the work of our hands. For it is your work, God. It is your mission. That has to be our focus as a church, to be devoted to God's work in the here and in the now. That is all we have. After all, you can only be in the will of God today. You know, some time ago, the American psychologist Charles Marston, he asked 3,000 people, what have you to live for? And he was shocked to find that 94% of the people he asked were simply enduring the present while waiting for the future. And they would describe themselves as waiting for something to happen, like waiting for children to grow up and leave home, or waiting for next year, waiting for another time to take a long dreamed about holiday, waiting for tomorrow. 94% were all waiting without realizing that all anyone ever has is today. Because yesterday is gone and tomorrow never comes. All we can really pray is, God, establish the work of our hands now. All we have is now. God, please help me to be in your will today. In what I have to do today, may you direct it, may you guide it. May you, literally from the Hebrew, make it stand upright. So as a church and as individuals, may the favour of the Lord be upon us and may he establish the work of our hands. That is a good prayer to pray. Well, let's bring this all together. God is eternal. Life is short. So we do need to ask God for wisdom. We do need to ask God for wisdom. Wisdom to number our days aright, being intentional in light of death and in light of eternity. And wisdom in asking God to establish the work of our hands, being in the will of God today. So if we wish to be significant, we need to know that we are living brief lives in the light of eternity. And only by obeying God and leaning on him might the work of our hands be established. And that is only possible through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us otherwise insignificant blip in time meaning, because our work can be established for him and for his kingdom. Perhaps I'll end with some words from the commentator James Mays that I read. I think this puts it much better than I ever could. He says this: "The prayer for a heart of wisdom that comes from considering the specifically limited time given our lives remains crucial. Time is the medium of our mortality, and so the favourite focus of folly. The young think they are immortal, the old despair because their time is over. Time is a burden when we have to wait, a scarcity when we are busy. It is the source of anxiety, illusion, remorse. But wisdom, in contrast, sees the time given us as the unique opportunity, the chance to be and to do in the fear of the Lord." God is eternal. Life is short. Ask God for wisdom. Let's do just that as we pray. Our God, even as you were Israel's dwelling place throughout all generations, so you are ours. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You were not created, you have always been, you will always be. You are. And in light of that eternity, in light of your eternity, Lord, please help us to number our days aright. Please give us a heart of wisdom that we may understand the significance of our otherwise meaningless lives in light of eternity, your eternity. And so we pray all that we can pray, all that there is to pray. Please, our God, as a church, as individuals, establish the work of our hands, the little that we do on this earth in the short time that we're here. Make it useful for your kingdom. Make it meaningful. All that we offer you, all that we lift to you, the hands, the bodies that you give us, may they be used to glorify you, even as we serve you in the here and the now, for that is all we have. Help us to reflect on these things, to realise why we're here, to perhaps for some of us to change our priorities where we need to, so that we might live for you, that your work in our lives might be established in light of eternity and in light of your mission, your hold on us as Cambridge Baptist Church. We ask these things that in all eternity you may indeed be glorified. Amen.